Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk Safety. I'm your host, Dylan Sutherland from Protector Safety Gear. Throughout this series, we'll be interviewing industry experts to provide our audience with valuable insights on various categories of PPE. Topics will range from selection and standards to maintenance and care. This should ultimately assist you in selecting fit-for-purpose safety solutions for your site. From these discussions, we will create resources such as Toolbox Talk downloads and blogs, all of which will be available on our website, www.protector.co.za, for download. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Safety. As you know, we're getting into season two, and we've listened to the audience and ensured that what we're offering is a lot more valuable and practical for you guys to apply to sites and make sure that you're protecting people, because that is why we're here today. Today, we are happy to have TK with us, who is a specialist from UVEX, and he's able to assist us with the EN166 standard and understanding it completely from a how do the products get tested all the way through to the practical component of the standard. TK, welcome.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for the invite. It's really good to be here, and good day to you, to all your viewers and your listeners. Like you said, today we're going to talk a little bit more about eye protection, and we'll be focusing mainly on the EN166 standard, which is the standard on all eyewear protection, what it needs to pass the standard, what a good eyewear protector needs to pass the standard.
Fantastic. TK, I think to get into this, let's quickly discuss, when it comes to EN166, what is it at a layman's level? What is that standard? And also, is there an equivalent in our local market, in the SANS market, to the EN166?
Yes. So in layman's terms, the EN166 is a test standard that an eye protector needs to pass to be valid to be used in different markets. So in South Africa, the equivalent of the 166 standard, the EN166 standard, is the SANS 50166, which was adopted the latest one is 2018. Okay. Why I'm saying that this is an adoption is because the SABS, our local standard house or house for standards, they don't have any testing facilities. So they adopt the EN166 as their own standard.
Fantastic.
Okay.
In the EN166 standard, what would be the key requirements to achieving a passing product?
So for your eye protection to achieve the EN166 standard, it's going to be tested against different categories. Okay. So first of all, your eye protection needs to pass a certain impact resistance test. Impact resistance, I mean, there's four types of impact resistant tests that we'll go through, but obviously we'll cover that in part two on a much deeper level. The main component of the EN166 standard is the testing of the optical class and the mechanical strength of the lens, which is the most important part of the test. So with the mechanical strength of the lens, what they do is, in the test, they take a 6mm steel ball bearing and they shoot it at the lens, right in the middle of the lens. And this lens, depending on the speed of the 6mm steel ball bearing, the lens does not scratch, it does not dent, and it's not allowed to break. Your eye protector also has to pass an optical correctness test, and your eye protector also has to have a manufacturer code on the lens as well, and yeah, it needs to tell you on the lens itself whether it's a clear lens, whether it's a gray lens, what kind of UV protection that you are getting from this eye protector. And the other one thing that I want to mention on the EN166 is that all these components that we've spoken about, all these markings that we've spoken about, they need to be present both on the lens and on the frame. So if the markings are only on the lens, it means that the frame was not tested.
Okay.
If it's on the frame, it means that the lens was not tested.
So
with the EN standard, both the lens and the frame need to be tested according to the impact resistance. They need to have the manufacturer code on both the frame and on the lens.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah.
over and above that standard, so the impact is obviously the critical component, are there other components to it that a product might get additional offerings from or features that might not impact the EN166 but our audience should consider?
Yes. So remember, with a safety spectacle is made out of plastic. So it's made out of plastic material called polycarbonate, which is hardened plastic. This polycarbonate material is very, very poor when it comes to scratching, and it does not offer you any fogging properties on the lens. So as an additional component to the EN166, you can either have an anti-scratch lens, you can have an anti-fog lens, and in some instances, you can have both of the coatings on the same lens. So you can have an anti-scratch coating on the outside of the lens and an anti-fog coating on the inside of the lens.
Fantastic. In terms of a limitation, what are the limitations our audience should consider when selecting an EN166 product?
I'm glad you asked the question. So the limitations obviously is, when we're talking about safety, safety is not a natural thing. So sometimes the limitations could be is the fit proper according to your the different shapes and sizes of people's faces? Does it offer you anti-fog coating? Does it offer you an anti-scratch coating depending on your work environment? Does this eye protector have a strap, or does it come with a temple? And is this temple adjustable? Can you manipulate this temple to actually fit your face properly? So there is quite a few limitations when it comes to eye protectors, but like I said, there's a lot of manufacturers that are increasingly improving their manufacturing process to cater to all those limitations.
Fantastic. When we're talking about the critical takeaways of EN166, then we just need to ensure that the following four things happen. One, impact resistance against the lens is achieved, and that could be at various speeds, like you've mentioned, that get shot at with the ball. That would also apply to the frame, as you've mentioned. The second part is that it needs to have the optical ability for that standard.
Yes.
Third part is that it needs to be appropriately marked, and the markings need to be found on both the spectacle or the spectacle and the frame. And the final part is obviously having the different tint color.
Yes.
According to that 166.
Correct.
Cool. So hopefully that, as a very basic view on the standard, can allow our users to understand how it should be marked and what it should look like. I think in the next session, what we'll do is take a much deeper dive and understand, how does this apply practically? How do we consider this practically for the users? I mean, we want to make sure they make a good decision. With good information comes a good decision. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Dylan. It's good to be here.
Appreciate it. Thank you for joining us, and I hope this episode added value to you. If you are experiencing any safety challenges on your sites and require any additional information, please do leave us a message on LinkedIn via Protector Safety Gear's page, or alternatively follow the link below and share a message with us, because maybe it can create value or valuable conversation for future episodes. Be sure to also follow us on LinkedIn. There will be some valuable information shared from today's discussion.